Hello, welcome to the Lean of Plants podcast. My name is Chelsea, and if you are struggling to lose weight on a plant-based diet, then this podcast is for you. While there are thousands of books, podcasts, and resources about the benefits of a plant-based diet, the reality is that being vegan does not guarantee losing weight. If you are feeling frustrated and confused about where to start, or you know exactly what you should be doing, but you just can't seem to rustle up enough willpower to do it, then keep listening. In this podcast, you'll learn the truth about plant-based weight loss, but just as importantly, how to use proven methods of behavioral change to turn what you know into lifelong habits that lead to getting and staying lean. Can't wait to get started. Let's do this. Hello, hello, welcome to the Lean the Plants podcast again. I am going to be sharing about my recent bulk and my experience of gaining quite a bit of weight over the past 8 months. And I recently talked about this in a YouTube video, but I wanted to do a deep dive because there's so much that I couldn't cover in a 16-minute video that I learned about my experience. So if you've ever been curious about bulking, if you've ever thought whether you should go on a bulk, if you've ever wondered what the heck the word bulk even means, if you've ever wondered what it feels like to intentionally gain weight and what I've learned over the past 8 months, then stick around because you're gonna learn all of that. I always try and be really transparent about what my experience is with dieting, weight loss, and all of the things surrounding that. So this is going to be a deep dive into what the last 8 months have looked like for me and how all of that felt. First off, I just want to share a little bit about the reason that I decided to go on this and kind of all of the decisions that led up to this point. And really, it just boils down to me going from having this goal my entire life to be skinny and then achieving that goal, losing 40 pounds, using calorie density, and understanding that weight loss is really just about calories in, calories out, that if I want to burn my stored fat cells, then I need to be eating less calories so that my body can dip into that rainy day fund and deplete them over time. Was able to do that by eating a ton more vegetables, actually just changing the composition of my food so that for the same kind of volume on my plate, it was just much, much less calories, and choosing things like potato and sweet potato and a lot of vegetables and fruits over brownies and cookies, and that behavior and building those habits is really what helped me to lose 40 pounds over the course of about a year and a half. And then be able to maintain that very easily. And what I've learned since has helped me to achieve different fitness goals. Obviously, I learned a lot about building habits over that time. One of the things I talk about often on this podcast is how I went from really an all or nothing mentality with my diet to being a lot more in the gray. And when I say that, it's just getting out of this kind of giving up pattern. I realized over time that the giving up and the starting again was less effectual, duh, than it would have been to be a bit more conservative in my approach, not be so hardcore, as long as I just didn't give up. And I never realized that because I always had this idea that I had to be perfect in order to succeed. And a lot of rule-based diets will do this. Keto is a really prime example, because as soon as you're not keto, as soon as you're out of ketosis and that you've taken a bite of a brownie or even a piece of bread or even a sweet potato, then you feel like you've failed on your diet because now you're no longer sitting within the realms of success. So you may as well have a binge, or you may as well start again on Monday, because all your efforts have, they're all for naught because you're now out of that realm of what success looks like. Instead, when you understand that all weight loss, keto, low carb, high carb, raw till 4, raw diet, intermittent fasting, any kind of elimination diet, they all work on the same premise that they're really just reducing calories in different ways, some by changing our behavior, some by just inherently the food being less calories. Then you go, well, if I have a bad day and if I have something that is quote unquote off plan, then it's not going to sabotage my results as long as I continue to choose another low calorie option, or as long as I choose to move my behavior in a lower calorie direction, then it doesn't really matter. So that was really pivotal to me, and I've talked a lot about my story and how I started to lose the weight. And to come full circle to now be on a journey of gaining is, it's something I honestly never have conceived of 5 or 6 years ago when I started this, to actually increase calories. And that's what a bulk is. A bulk is the opposite of losing weight. A bulk is intentionally increasing the amount of calories so that you are not in a deficit, you're in a surplus. And the reason that people do this, especially people in the fitness world, is that it's much easier to build muscle when there is some kind of building block for that. And all muscle is really built in this process of progressive overload, where you're getting your muscles to breaking point, or to failure, if you will, in the gym or with whatever you're doing. That could be body weight exercises. It can be done at home. Totally possible to do that. And your body creates almost these micro tears in your muscles, and it pushes them to grow more. And that's like a very, very simplified version. But when you have a higher protein intake, and when you have a more calories specifically, I think this is the biggest piece with that, combined with progressive overload over a period of months or however long that you are in a bulking period, it's much more effective to build muscle this way than it is to almost be trying to build them when you don't have much there to begin with. As in, you don't have fuel that you're putting on the fire, if you will, for your body to then take that and then put that into muscle building. It's also much harder to push yourself when you're in a calorie deficit. I think this is one of the biggest things as well. The amount of energy that you have, your ability to go really, really hard when you're eating less calories than you need is it's definitely a different game. And I'm not saying that can't be done, especially in the beginning, but I reached a point in my journey where I've maintained within about a 4 to 5, or even maybe even 4 to 6 pound range for about the past 4 years. Absolutely wild. Like, I'm here talking to you on the podcast and I can just say that so casually, but I never thought that I would achieve that. That was the dream, was to be able to maintain my weight. Like, the amount of freedom that I have to do that, it still blows my mind every single day. And that's with tons of travel, that's with stresses, that's with all kinds of things going on. And I've been strength training consistently probably over the past 3 years, and have built up a routine where I consistently go to the gym 2 to 3 times a week, most of the time 3 times a week. And it's been fairly steady except for periods where I've been traveling for those past 3 years. So I had something called newbie gains. Everyone gets this when they start working out. You start to build muscle quite quickly over your first year of working out. And then that is, the rate of growth is going to be much less in subsequent years. And so I have been thinking for the past, when did I start this? I started this in August, and leading up to it, I just kept thinking, you know what, I really want to build muscle. What happened to me was that my goals just changed. Like, you can only reach a level of leanness. Like, you can only go so far in terms of losing fat. And like, yeah, I could have definitely gotten leaner, but if there's not really much to reveal there, unless your goal is to be very, very skinny, then it doesn't really achieve much to get massively leaner. Like, you can't really reveal muscle that's not there. And maybe you've seen or heard of people that are skinny fat as well. And I think this was definitely me before I started weight training, was I and definitely at points in the past where I have dieted and got quite low on the scales, but been pretty skinny because I have not been doing any strength training. You can have quite a high body fat percentage. You can look really small and skinny, but you just don't have a ton of muscle tone. So strength training has been pretty important to me for the past couple of years, and I just wanted more. And I've seen people go through bulks. I've seen people think about their fitness journey on a longer timeline. And I was at a point where that was something that it was possible for me to do, to think about this in terms of a year of growth and a year of effort as opposed to just 6 weeks or losing weight as fast as I could. So I set out an intention that I wanted to bulk for approximately like 6 to 9 months. That was kind of where I was thinking. And my goal was to do that in a quite a slow way. There's kind of two ways that people think about bulking, and that is the clean bulking and dirty bulking. And I'm sure there's lots in between. This is really not something that I know all that much about as well. I just want to preface that. But from what I understand, clean bulking is just it's a slight increase in calories. It's not really changing all that much in terms of like what you're eating and your consistency or anything like that. And then building muscle from that slight increase in calories. Whereas a dirty bulk would be that you just eat whatever you want. You're in quite a big calorie surplus, and then you're gaining muscle, but you're also gaining a lot more fat with that process. And that's not something that I wanted to have happen. So what I did was just increase my calories slightly by reducing the amount of vegetables that I was eating, increasing my protein sources. I did start taking a protein powder and eating a ton more tofu as well. And what that allowed me to do was to quite easily increase my calories because I was still eating a pretty similar volume of food. And then the other thing was that I just got a bit more free with my diet as well. So I was definitely eating more treats. I had dessert pretty much every single night. And it was so fascinating to see the first month the scales just start to trend up. And every time in the past, so I typically sit at about 61, maybe 62 kilos. I'm not sure what that is in pounds. I think it's like 140 something. And to see 63 on the scales, it normally means that my habits have slipped. The times that I normally see 63 or have seen that in the past couple of years, it's been when I've been on holiday. Or like when I went to America for 3 months, I think I came back at like 63, possibly at the most like 64. And I lost that added weight pretty fast when I came back. To see that number and then realize that it was going to continually go up, or the goal was for it to continue to go up, I got to say that messed with my head to begin with. And it really challenged me that this was something that I actually wanted to do and to really think about the why of doing this, and that I just want to be a muscle mummy now. And I have this goal of looking really muscular. In people's perception of that is so interesting. It's so hard as a woman to gain significant muscle. People think about muscly women and they think about like insanely huge bodybuilders, which is so flipping hard to achieve naturally. I feel like I've been working my ass off for this for years. I still look and I feel so much imposter syndrome. I still look and I'm like, man, I haven't really made much progress until I see progress pictures, but it's still nowhere near really what I want to be and the kind of physique that I want to have. And for anyone out there that thinks that strength training is going to make you bulky, it really isn't easy to get bulky at all. Like, it's really, really flipping hard. The other thing that I know is going to happen entering a dieting phase, which I'm doing really soon, is that I think that I've gained more muscle than I have, in that I know that once I get leaner, I'm going to reveal that I didn't actually build as much as what I thought I did. This pretty much always happens for anyone. And it quite often happens as well for people who think that they inherently have a little bit more muscle. If you're at a higher body fat percentage and you're like, yeah, like I'm pretty strong. Like, look at my legs, look at my arms, like they're thick and like I'm strong. Quite often when you actually lose that body fat as well, you realize, well, hey, I wasn't actually as strong as I thought I was. I just had some fat padding my muscles and then it made me look stronger than I actually am. It was so funny. In the last couple of months, I went on a skating trip and ended up doing some arm wrestling with some girls on that trip, and was able to beat some of the really strong looking girls on that trip quite easily in an arm wrestle. And then this really small chick who does calisthenics, who she looks tiny, she's really petite, much shorter than me, she absolutely creamed me in an arm wrestle. But it didn't surprise me, because even though I look so much stronger than her and some of these people that I beat were stronger than me, it's really the size that you are is really not a big indication of how much strength you have. So it's just kind of like a side note, but I thought you might find that interesting because it's things that I've learned along the way. The other thing that I changed in my bulk was that apart from adding more calories, reducing my vegetables, adding more tofu, adding a bit more protein, I also upped my training. And it's this really interesting thing that happens when you start to train more in the gym or have some kind of athletic goal or some performance goal, fitness goal, your food and your fitness becomes a whole lot more tied. In my mind, this is just another really phenomenal reason to add in some kind of training in a weight loss phase. Even though exercise has not been shown to help with weight loss, strength training recompositions your body. And from a habits perspective, when you have a positive habit in one area, it's much more likely for you to have more positive behaviors in other areas of your life. James Clear talks about this as a decisive moment, and that is that in any given moment where you are presented with a choice, you can have these two offshoots that get created. And so one of them is a good decision, and one of them is a bad decision, which is obviously a very binary way of looking at it, but bear with me for the illustration. Anytime that you make a positive decision, it opens up more avenues for another positive decision. So from one decision, whatever way you go, be that positive or be that negative, a negative decision opens up more negative decisions or more negative consequences from that one decision. And a positive decision opens up more positive decisions from that positive decision. Really easy way to think about this is something as simple as sleep. If you choose to get a good night's sleep, you wake up in the morning and your ability to make positive choices because you are well rested, you have a lot more opportunity to make positive choices from that than if you had gone to bed really, really late and watched Netflix. If you eat a healthy meal and you feel good about that decision and you have an added energy, it's a lot easier, and you open up the ability to have more energy and therefore make another good decision from that. If you go to the gym, you have the opportunity to make a decision to pick up the weights at the gym. If you stay in bed, you never get that opportunity to make a positive decision from that other decision that you made. So working out and eating healthy, I believe, goes together hand in hand like this, because when you're fueling your body and you're fueling your body to perform in your workouts or to have these two things work together, then it's much more motivating to be consistent in all areas. I really, really found this on this journey because I felt like I was eating so much more protein or at least so much more tofu. I felt like I was like 90% tofu at one point, which is a joke. Please, like, don't take this literally. But I was just eating so much more tofu. I was so much more intentional about my meals. I was trying so hard, like, not to skip anything, to time things really regularly so that I could actually eat enough calories, because I didn't want my workout and how hard I was pushing myself in the gym for 5 days a week, I just didn't want that to go to waste. I didn't want to be going to the gym for 5 days and then for some reason my muscles not actually be growing because I wasn't taking in enough calories. That just felt like I couldn't let one area down because I was putting so much effort in the other area and those two things were tied. So think about how that could relate to your journey as well in terms of performance, in terms of what you're doing in one area. It will have a correlating effect, which is really cool. I love this concept so much because it's so exciting to see that positive decisions in one space allow more positive decisions in another. I think that's counterintuitive to what we'd expect. I think we would kind of expect that our ability to make good choices is a limited resource, and that once you've made a ton of good choices throughout the day, that you're kind of fatigued from it and then you're going to make some kind of bad choice. But that could not be further from the truth. It's almost like this idea of if you are really, really busy, you're more likely to get something done, an additional thing done, than someone who really has nothing on their plate. Because if you're busy, you know how to prioritize time. Your time is much more effective. It's that old adage of if you want something done, ask a busy person. I just think that's really, really phenomenally encouraging to think about one little tiny step in the right direction, one positive action opens up your ability to just make so many more. So please take that away and use it. What my results actually look like. So I've been doing this for 8 months. I'm at the end of my bulk now. I've literally in the last week decided that it is time to start a fat loss phase. I decided this a couple of weeks ago, but I've actively been doing that, been very committed for the past week or so. And I gained about 5 kilos in that time. So I started at 61 kilos and I am now at about 66 kilos. That's in the morning with minimal clothing on. 61 where I started, I just wanted to Google it. That's about 135 pounds. I'm now at 145 pounds, 66 kilos. So that's about 11 pounds up. I wish that I'd gotten a body fat scan at the very beginning. I don't know if you can hear that ambulance in the back there. There's always something. Like in this podcast, it should just be called the Road Rage in the Background podcast, because that's literally pretty much 90% of it. I wish I'd taken that scan and I didn't. Kick myself now because I found out later that my gym actually does these body fat scans for free. Then it's not a DEXA scan, but it measures, it's pretty accurate apparently. But I did one in November of 2023, end of November 2023. And I was so flipping fascinated because I was 16.2% body fat. I had about 10. That's where it was. I had about 10 kilos so that's about 22 pounds of fat on me. And then the rest of that was skeletal mass and muscle mass. 4 months later, in April, I did another one and I've gained about a kilo, so about 2.5 pounds of, I think it's 2.2 actually, of fat. And then I'd gained about 1.3, which is 2.8 pounds, actually nearly 3 pounds of muscle in those 4 months. So I'm going to assume that I've gained about that again for the other 4 months that I did, because I actually think I gained more in the beginning because I had an injury that set me back over the past 4 months where I had a knee injury. So I'm really excited about how much muscle I've gained. And I went searching the other day to find my old body fat scan. So 2019, I did a body fat scan. I was 59 kilos at that point. That's 130 pounds. That's 15 pounds lighter than I am today. That's a lot of that is, I have people coming to me pretty much every day and saying, hey, I want to lose the last 15 pounds. I just gained 15 pounds. Do you know the craziest part of that is that my body fat percentage today at what, and now it's at 17.2, like as of today, 17.2% body fat, which is still very much like an athletic range, really, really good BMI, all of these markers, which look absolutely phenomenal. They told me my metabolic age was 17. And I'm like, I'm just like, okay, yeah, like that sounds amazing. I'll take it. 15 pounds heavier in 2024 than I was in 2019. 2019, I was 18.5 or round about that in the 18% body fat. At 15 pounds lighter. That is so wild to me. And then if you look at the actual fat mass, I've only in that time gained about 2 kilos of actual fat. I think it actually is less than that. That's a crazy thing. So most of that is muscle. I looked at my average daily calories for my basal metabolic rate. And at 59 kilos, it's something like 1400 calories. And there's a lot of other calories that we need to sustain us. I don't just need 1400 calories a day. Please don't take that away from that. There's a lot of other functions on top of metabolic or basal metabolic rate. But now my basal metabolic rate is around 1600 calories, just simply because I have more mass on my body, which is so crazy. So when you think about how much easier it's going to be to maintain my physique that I want to when I actually reach that lower body fat percentage, it's so much easier to achieve that. It's so much easier to maintain that because I don't have such a low starting point. Even from a fat percentage point of view, when you think about how much or what a percentage would be, we find a percentage by looking at, well, what's the amount of kilos that I have in fat. So if I have 11 kilos of fat and then I divide that by my current weight, which would be 66, then that takes me to 16% body fat. I think I've got 11.5, whatever it is. If you look at where I was, so I was, I think, like 10, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I think I was like 9.5 kilos of fat at that point. And then if I divide that into 59, which was my body weight, I must have had even more fat because I did the math on that. That didn't math. I went and had a look because I thought this was super interesting. So looking in 2019, which this is me pretty much at my skinniest, was like 59 kilos. So my fat or my body fat mass was actually 10.9 or 10.8, sorry. So if I go to 10.8 divided into 59, that equals 18.3. So that's where I was. I was about 18.3% body fat at that point. And if you look at now, so when I had the scan, on the scan I was 66, so I am 11.4 actual fat mass, which is wild. Like, that's even less than I thought. So that's really, I can't even honestly wrap my head around this, because that's only really a kilo or less than even a kilo of actual fat. Like, that makes me think that there's something wrong with this, honestly. How crazy is that? So 11.4 kilos of fat mass divided into 66.6 is where we get that 17.2% body fat. So even if I was to only lose, let's say I was to lose 2 kilos of fat, or even one, like, let's just even look at that. If I was to lose and maintain the current muscle that I have, so if I was to lose 1 kilo of body fat, and that puts me at 10.4, and I divide that into, now I would be 65, right? 65.6, because I'm 1 kilo down. That gets me to under 16% body fat, simply by losing 1 kilo of fat. What if I was to lose 2? So I'm starting at 11.4. I take 2 away from that, which is 9.4. And then I divide that into 64.5.6. That would get me to 14.5% body fat. And that's at about 65 kilos or 64 and a half kilos. That's so wild to me that that's what that level of leanness under 15% body fat is pretty darn lean. You would be seeing muscles at that point. You would be seeing ab definition at that point. And that's really only by losing 2 kilos of fat. If I were to think about when I was 59 kilos, let's be real with this. Me thinking about losing two kilos, it feels like nothing. That feels so flippin' easy. And I've given myself three, possibly even 4 months to go into a fat loss phase. So I don't even have to lose to achieve that a kilo a month. I can lose half a kilo a month of fat and I would be absolutely stoked with that at the end. I would be at under 15% body fat and I only would have lost like a kilo or less than a kilo a month, half a kilo a month. I gotta tell you, when I was 59 kilos, when I was 130 pounds, it was so flipping hard to get any lower. The amount of calories that I had to eat, it was really hard to get lower than that. I could maintain that with the activity level that I had. If I was very consistent, I could maintain that relatively easy compared to a lot of other methods of dieting. But it was no walk in the park to get lower than that. And I just didn't know realistically that there was a different way of doing things. So I really just thought that the only way to look leaner was to lose weight. Like, that's the only thing that I had in my arsenal. Whereas now, thinking about this, if over the next year, like, let's even do a few more numbers on that. Let's say that over the next year, all that I change is that I lose 2 kilos of body fat, of fat mass on my body. So if I've got 11.4, and these are hypothetical numbers as well. I'm not saying that this is right or wrong, or that you should be aiming for this low or whatever. My goal is that I really do want to look like a fitness person, influencer, whatever you want to call it. I want to look like a gym girl. I want to look like a muscle mummy. I've got a goal to build some ab definition over the next couple of months, and that's going to require me to actually work my abs, which is my least favorite thing to work. But it's also going to require that you have like quite a low body fat percentage on your everywhere. And for me, I keep weight on my stomach, so in order to achieve that, I'm going to need to get relatively low as a percentage. But even if we think about this over the course of the next, let's say the next 8 months, let's say that I was to lose and you can do these numbers for yourself as well. This is kind of how interesting it is. I would recommend that everyone go and get a body fat scan. I really wish that I had had one of these at the very beginning of my journey. I'm going to estimate based on where I was that I was probably about like, I want to say like 26. I could probably figure it out, like 26% body fat, or possibly up to around 30% body fat. But I wish I had those actual numbers. Back to the mathing though, if we go 11.4, which is where I'm at currently, and I'm to lose, let's say I lose 2 kilos of fat, and I sit around 9.4, but I'm to gain 1 kilo of muscle in that time. So that means that I'm only down, how does that work? I'm only down 1 kilo from what I am now. So I do 9.4 divided into 65.6. That gets me to the 14.3. And that's like, that feels just like so flippin' achievable. I never would have thought that I could even achieve something like that. Like, let's say that I was to gain 2 kilos of muscle, which is no easy feat, but if we bring out our timeline, like, anything's possible. So if we go 9.4 divided into 66.6, so I stay at exactly the same weight, I'm sitting at about 14% body fat if I'm able to achieve that. And that's just so crazy when you think about it and you do the numbers like that and you look at this, not just in terms of the number on the scales, but what that number on the scales actually means and how you can change the rules of the game to allow you to achieve the goals that you want to. So for anyone who's listening to this, if you're at the lower end of the spectrum, I wouldn't say go in a bulk per se. I've got some things that I think are really important to factor in before going into that, and I'll talk about those in a second. But be thinking about your health journey in a different light. Be thinking about achieving a result rather than looking at a number on a scales, and really ask yourself, what do I want to achieve over the next year? If you are eternally trying to lose 10 to 15 pounds, why not just convert that into muscle? Why not stop fixating so much on lowering your calories and instead go, hey, I'm going to really focus on building some muscle over the next year or so, and then see where I'm at that point. See how my body changes, because muscle is more dense. So for the same, you're going to have more weight on your body, but look a lot smaller and a lot more toned. I kind of hate that word toned, but it is what it is. when you simply have more muscle. I hope this is helpful, by the way. I'm kind of rambling on about it, but it's so fascinating to me what can happen when we just manipulate numbers. Here's the biggest things that I took away from this 8 month experience and what I'm gonna will take into the future. Biggest one is setting up a habit of working out 5 times a week. I had to build that into my schedule. I had to build that in where it just became a non-negotiable every single day, where 2 p.m. rolled around and I would just go to the gym, and I would go to the gym with Nick. And if I missed a day, I would make sure that I didn't miss the next day. So there was a lot of working out on weekends. There was a lot of working out at nights, and just building it into a routine is something that I want to continue on. I also got into a habit of eating a ton more tofu, and I love tofu. I'm never sick of it. So this is obviously something that I'm going to continue on into my fat loss phase. I also learned how it affected me to see that number go up. It surprised me how quickly I got used to that. Once I got past, I think, probably like 63 kilos and seeing that, I actually realized now looking back, I didn't weigh myself as much because my goal was to be constantly trending up. So I just kind of got out of the habit of it. Whereas normally I use daily weighing as an accountability tool to not gain weight. And that, I think that probably overall did help me. But I just got used to that. Getting to this point now of seeing a number as a normal that I would have freaked out about before, or looking back, like that was kind of midway through my journey, like last time. That's kind of the crazy part. Like that was towards the end of it where I was nowhere near done, and now I've done that on purpose. It's kind of crazy. I do think that I could have pushed myself a bit more, but I dealt with an injury, and I was really excited that when I did the scan between April and then November that I have actually gained muscle in my injured knee or in my injured leg, even though I feel like I've had a massive setback. And it's just simply by showing up, it's just simply by continuing to work it. And that's the biggest thing that my physiotherapist has said, is she's just like, keep going at it, keep working it, don't give up on it. Anything that you do is better than nothing. Like the stronger you are, the more that it's going to heal, all of this stuff. And that has definitely helped me. I do wish that I'd taken that body scan. This would be my biggest thing. I'm going to be like the biggest advocate for body scans at this point, because it's just data. And how cool is it to look and see how we can use the data to inform our decision making? I can use the data that I have now to go, hey, I'm focused on fat loss. I don't necessarily need to lose any weight, and that I'm going to get to my goals simply by losing a level of fat. That's all I really need to do, and building more muscle. And conceivably, I can do this simply by building muscle. Although I do definitely notice a lot more fat around my stomach, and that's kind of the more of the dangerous fat is that visceral fat. So I definitely want to get that overall number a little bit lower. I wish that I had taken better measurements. I wish I had really treated this a bit more like an experiment. I think I started to do that towards midway, but I wish I'd had a specific start date, that I'd really taken my weights. I'd done that at least every month. I'd taken my measurements. I'd taken progress pictures. You pretty much always regret this at the end of your journey or whatever it is that you're doing, that you're just taking more stats. So I want to encourage you to please do that right now. I also really enjoyed like having more freedom with my food, but it didn't give me the level of long-term payoff that I kind of thought it did in the beginning. I got to a point where I'm like, I miss saying no. I miss feeling like I have a level of discipline. While I did have to maintain a level of discipline, I miss the kind of person that I am when I get into a habit of being really, really consistent with my diet. It's funny how much of that is really just an identity piece. I think the biggest takeaway from all of this and what I've learned is that going into a bulking period with the intention of gaining muscle and gaining weight, gaining fat in that process, I don't know why, but I kind of expected that my clothes would fit me the same. I kind of expected that it wouldn't be too much where I'd have to buy new clothes or that I could fit into my old things, and it wasn't. And I've gotten to a point now where like my clothes, especially when they come out of the wash, my pants feel really tight. I don't like it. It's made it much harder to get dressed in the morning because I'm looking at like what I can wear and I'm saying like, that doesn't fit me anymore, that doesn't fit me anymore. And if I was to do this again, I would make an allowance for that. I really am a firm believer in, if you're going to do something for the long haul, be that weight loss, be that weight gain, be that whatever journey that you're on, business, habits, whatever, you want that journey day to day to be as easy as possible. It's already hard. You do not want things that remind you constantly that you're not there. You want things that keep you going, but negative motivation in that you want it faster and you feel like you're desperate to get there, those things don't actually help you with day-to-day consistency. So it's same with a weight loss phase. If you're in a weight loss phase and your clothes feel constantly tight, I would encourage you to buy a bigger size up. That might be counterintuitive, but if you're constantly reminded in every single second of your day that your clothes feel tight, I don't see that as a positive thing that is going to inspire you to keep going, because it's a constant reminder that you're not where you need to be. You're constantly in some ways being punished for where you are today, which you can't change today, rather than celebrating the wins that you can have on a daily basis. You can celebrate that you went to and got your workout in. You can celebrate that you ate a pound of vegetables. You can celebrate that you said no to someone bringing around cake. You can celebrate your habits. You can celebrate and win every single day with your actions. And with those actions, you will get to the result. But if you have those constant reminders that you're failing in a way, or you're not where you want to be, that's going to make it harder for you to last the distance in order to keep going. So I don't like anything that does that. I don't like anything that demotivates me to continue on with the race. It's kind of like if you were thinking about, if you were running a marathon, you want to be thinking about, oh, it's only a K away until I get to halfway. Or it's, oh, I've already run 10 kilometers. Wow, like look at me go. I can run, like I'm amazing. I can do more. Runners have all of these things that they do to almost trick themselves of the progress that they've made and how easy it will be to get to the finish line. Because if you think that the finish line is so far away and there's so much pain associated with having to keep going, then you're most likely just going to stop and you're going to quit. I mean, it's the same thing with dieting. You don't want those constant reminders of how hard and how far away it is. You want the opposite. It doesn't make you complacent. It just makes you have the ability to focus on a different metric of success, which is a metric that you can control today. So I would change that, and I didn't. I wish I did. Now that I'm starting a dieting phase, I'm like, oh, I'm just about to start this. I just started. Do I buy a size up? I don't know. Maybe just keep wearing some of my tight clothes and wear some of my drawstring pants at the same time. We shall see. What comes next? Getting lean, getting abs. Like that's, I've never had that, but I just never thought I could. And I don't think I really honestly don't think I would have at my lower weight where I thought I had to be. What I've learned so far. I've come so far. And getting back into being super consistent, been doing this for the past week or so and actually really loving it so far. There's something about making a decision and then just doing it and being like, yeah, this is, I expect this to be hard, but what can I do to set it up to be easier? And I'm going to talk about exactly what that looks like, how I'm setting myself up for success. I've already had so many amazing learning experiences, bringing food with me, not bringing food with me, and that was a mistake, going away for a weekend, not really planning, eating cake, and then going for another weekend, planning super well, and being super consistent on that weekend. So lots of really cool things to kind of get back into it. Lots of things that I'm taking from all of my experience so far in my journey up until this point and going, okay, I really feel like I'm so good now. I say this, like I know it's going to be hard, but just feeling like I'm so good at doing the things that I need to do in order to make it as easy as it conceivably can be. I have so many systems in place. I have so many ways of looking at failure that are different and learning from experiences that once I set up my systems, just like I did with my YouTube channel where I got a coach, I got a commitment device, I created systems where it was impossible for me to fail or extremely painful, but also extremely rewarding to succeed. Once I set up those kind of systems with my fat loss phase, it's really just a matter of time until I reach those goals. So I'm excited to take you along on that journey. I'd love to hear what you'd like to see from me. I filmed 4 days of what I eat in a day so far for reels. I just really need to edit them and get them posted. But I'm planning to document this entire journey and be a lot more systematized in that. So let me know what you want to see. And I hope that you found this episode helpful. Now, if you're thinking about whether you should go into bulk, there's about 4 things that you want to factor in. The first one being, are you at a body fat mass where it would be disadvantageous for you to gain more. If you are over, let's say you're over like 20% body fat, or even over like 18% body fat, if you have still got visceral fat on your body, then trying to gain more weight, going onto a bulk is not going to be a good idea, objectively speaking. You want to get down to a good baseline first. I'm thinking like under 18% body fat is probably honestly where it's at. What you can do is start to increase your muscle mass. So you don't have to go on a bulk per se. You could stay at maintenance for a while and focus on building a bit more muscle and then go into more of a dieting phase, or just see where you end up at that point. If you're at that kind of baseline of, let's say, like 18%, for anyone who's kind of thinking about, I want to lose the last 10 to 15 pounds. But again, that is just very, very subjective. So I like the measure more of a percentage rather than a, you just trying to think that you've only got 15 pounds. It may be more like 20, it may be less than that. We really don't know. So that's the first one. Second one is, if you've gone through, hey, like, yeah, I'm kind of under the 18% body fat-ish, I'm already pretty skinny, if you will, then can you see the scales go up and have that not be an emotional response? Do you have some kind of emotional tie to your weight? If you do, then desensitize yourself first with daily weighing. Go through a process of that where that is not a scary number anymore. The next one is, do you have a regular fitness routine? If not, then build that first. Build a 3-day a week gym habit. Build some muscle and build some habits around that first before intentionally starting it. Because yes, you can eat more calories on a bulk, but you also have to work out more for that to be really, really effective. You can't just do one. Otherwise, you're just going to gain fat. So you really have to have established that as a habit first. The fourth one being, are you prepared to actually gain weight? Are you prepared to have your clothes go up a size in clothes? Are you prepared to look a whole lot fluffier, if you will? Are you prepared to have people notice that? Are you prepared to have your identity tied to, or not tied to, how skinny you are or how lean you are? And if you're okay with a longer term timeline and everything else checks out, then maybe look at giving it a go. I don't think most people listening to this podcast, from what I've seen, are at this stage, to be honest, because I think if you were, you probably wouldn't be listening to it. But I'm hoping that just through talking through this, you kind of start to see where there's little elements that you can apply to your own journey. And I know for me, thinking about this, and if I had had this information much earlier, it would have given me a different outline of the trajectory that I could go and the options that I had. That's the really what I want to achieve in telling you this, is that you can make the rules for your own body. You can change that. You don't just have to hit some arbitrary number on the scales. Your goals probably will change, and you can aim just so much higher than what you are now. Like, that's how cool it is. So I'm going to leave that there. Let me know what you want to see on the next time that I document this, whatever. And I will see you next week for another episode. All right, that's it from me.